Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Cavaliers halfway to the second round, a commanding 96-86 win over the Magic, and I think, Kenny, pretty unflappable 2-0 lead in this series.
Is it a dagger?
I think this series is all but over. Like, I'm trying to think, Orlando, if they hit their corner threes that were leaving them wide open, is that going to be enough to steal one game at home? Maybe, but, I mean, the Cavs could also play way better, too, could they not?
Well, if they win in five, I'm going to say, they also could.
We shot 30% from three.
Yeah. Wasn't it even worse in game one?
I mean, Donovan Mitchell was 2 of 10 for three-point.
So what'll bother me is, like, say they lose game four, like, there's going to be an overreaction. When's game four? Is that Saturday?
You mean if we're already up 3-0?
Yeah, if we're up 3-0, and then they play on Saturday, and then you come back, like, wouldn't there be an overreaction by the fan base?
I actually don't think there would be. Really? I think it would be, hey, all right, come home, get taken care of.
You're the one who says, apparently we're going to hear some, it's going to be one hell of a segment at 8:20 after Sal Palantonio joins us at 8. I don't know what's going to happen. Literally, I don't know. Lyman looked at me with a very devious look like he was Mr. Fuji of what's going to happen here at 8:20 this morning. But, like, I think there's people champing at the bit to try to find. I mean, you're telling me that there are people who, one, thought that they were going to lose this series, and then, two, turn right around and say, ah, it's just the Magic.
Well, I am seeing that.
Okay, so I think people are looking for a reason to be cynical.
Yeah. Well, you can't be cynical about Jared Allen, who brought it on every possession last night. He played damn near 40 minutes and had 20 rebounds and was so dominating with 9 offensive rebounds. Each and every one of those more heartbreaking than the previous one to the Magic, because you're getting stops, right? You think you're getting stops, and then he is just getting every single rebound, and you're getting either wide open threes or layups afterwards. And right now, Jared Allen, winning hearts, certainly changing minds.
I'm a fan of Jarrett's. I will tell you that. Go ahead.
It's not really important for me to change my reputation. I know who I am as a person. But I know it's still, the reputation's still not changed. You know, we're only 2 games in. Do we want to change it as a team? Probably. You know, we want to be known as a team that's going to go out there and fight every single night. And still have a long way to go for that.
Fair evaluation, but I think he's changed the reputation throughout the year, at least about his personal play.
Has he not? I mean, he has responded in a big way. And, you know, look, we won't know. I mean, they're probably not going to get matched up at the Knicks at any point, but I feel pretty confident knowing that it would have gone differently for him, at least. Who knows if he would have won the series? And, I mean, the Knicks are up in 2 really hard-fought games against 76ers. It honestly looks like 2 even teams. I mean, both of those teams are just trading punches. And the Knicks have been able to get, you know, the late buckets that they've needed, the clutch baskets. But I think Jared Allen would have been up for anybody.
Yeah.
That just seems to be his demeanor. Everything about him has blown me away. Donovan Mitchell, who I said, you know, came out firing again. He ended up with 23 points, not nearly as efficient as he was in game one. It took 22 shots, 2 of 10 from three-point line. He knows he can be, and the team can be even better.
It's great we got the win. We're up 2-0, but we're not looking just to be up 2, looking to be perfect. You know what I mean? And there's no such thing as perfection, but you continuously want to chase it. And if I'm not doing my job, then that's kind of my mode right now. Like, I can be better for the group, you know, as a whole, and I will be.
Boy, his emotion. Have you noticed? We used to do this with LeBron and note the demeanor change in LeBron from the regular season to the postseason. That is, I think, where we have quipped oftentimes about flipping the switch and LeBron, oh, dark 30 or whatever the hell we would call it.
Zero dark 23.
Yeah, it is different now. It is different now with Donovan Mitchell, is it not? I mean, he has gone out of his way to not only show that emotion, but also he's getting the crowd fired up more than just about anybody. And I think that has been something that he's been cognizant of. He's not stupid. He knows what the rumors are. He knows that everybody... Certainly everybody outside of Cleveland thinks he's leaving. Well, and a lot of people in Cleveland thinks he's leaving.
Well, I think that there's some people who are trying to protect their feelings on this Cavs team and Donovan Mitchell. I also think that there are people looking for a reason to cling on. And I think that he's given them a reason to kind of cling on and get back with the group emotionally here on what they could do. Now, I think it's best for his business, but I think that he'd be an idiot, and I don't think he is, to not know that there are people just outside. Again, Kendrick Perkins, 4 minutes before tip-off on Saturday's game. Well, he's got 1 foot out the door already. It's like, wow, we're going to be reminded of this right before the game here. Okay, this is fun for everybody involved on this broadcast. Like, he knows that people bring this stuff up. I think he does play with a chip on his shoulder. I saw that Athletic, the overrated thing where he was one of the others receiving votes. I mean, we can dive into that if we want to. We got Danny Cunningham at 7:20 this morning. I don't think he's overrated. I really don't think so at all, but I mean, we could talk to Danny about what this is a player's vote thing here, so we'll talk to Danny about that. But I tell you, I think that he is cognizant of everything around him, and he knows that he's got to kind of be an olive branch to the fans to get them back emotionally with them.
We have one more NBA clip before we get to Andrew Berry. It was a wild, wild finish there in Denver. The Lakers, I got up to feed, got a little nappy, got up to feed baby Mason, looked at the score, and I'm like, do I have to now watch this game? I have to now watch this game. So
yeah, you did.
There I am at about 1 in the morning watching the end of this one. It was a 20-point game at one point. The Nuggets were down, but they had a chance. They did not call timeout to corral a rebound, and here's the final call as heard on Turner Sports.
Murray makes a move. Denver.
Jamal Murray, the dagger, quite literally a dagger. The Nuggets go up 2-0. You want to talk about heartbreaking, debilitating. The Lakers thought they were going to steal home court advantage. Anthony Davis had 32 points, but it was not enough. Another signature Nuggets win, ho-hum. Jokic, 27 points, 20 rebounds, 10 assists. He does it all. Incredible theater.
I can't believe, like, again, Mitch and I kind of had a back and forth before the show because Mitch thought the Cavs were going to give up a 20-point lead and lose the game.
No. That's not what I thought.
All right, then explain yourself, tough guy. You got a microphone in front of yourself. Just say it, because that's what you said before the show.
I didn't say that they were going to blow a 20-point lead.
What did he say, Owen?
You were concerned that they were going to blow a 20-point lead.
So go ahead and speak.
No, I was saying before the show that even with the 20-point lead, with any team in the NBA nowadays, a lot of those times the lead is not safe, especially that early on in the game. It was early on in the second half that I was worrying. With about 6 minutes left, I thought to myself, okay, even when they got down to 9, I'm like, all right, we probably have this, but just don't let them go on a big run. And the way they were shooting, they couldn't go on a big run.
Yeah, that's not what you said before the show. That's all right. That's okay. It's all right. I think you just heard what Lyman and I were saying in the first half and or first part of the show, and you just decided to use that because that's not what you said at all before the show. That's okay. Apparently, everybody's going to team up on me at 8:20.
Just an incredible, incredible.
Mitch doesn't know to team up.
I'm in the Fox. Well, that didn't help my matter.
What side he wants to be.
No, we could tell which one he's going to be on after that. Go ahead.
Final note, Andrew Berry appeared right here on Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan, the home of the Cleveland Browns, on the draft preview show with Ken Carman, and had this to say about the priority positions in the draft.
People know we're a quarterback-centric organization. It's the most important position in sports. I think people know that we like linemen. Like, I don't think that's a secret. And then, you know, really positions that influence the passing game. You know, that's really our priority. Now, we don't operate exclusively in that manner. And you have to be able to be flexible just because you can't dictate or control the draft. But over the long run, you'll probably see our investment in those areas.
Andrew Berry laying out the blueprint of what they're going to do with pick number 54.
He was talking with Nathan, by the way. Yeah, but he laid it out. There you go. Got to read the tea leaves. Positions that influence the passing game. Interesting. Influence the quarterback position.
What do you think it means, Kenny? Tell us what it means.
You tell me what it means there, buddy boy. Are we looking at tight ends? We're looking at more wide receivers? More wide receivers? Offensive lineman does influence the passing game.
Heck yeah, it does.
It does. You know, we're not sure about Jedrick Wills' future. And I know how you feel about the Jack Conklin signing yesterday. So there you go.
Did I feel more vitriolic about the Jack Conklin signing, or that I was done with the conversation about the Browns with Daryl and I wanted to get back to the Cavs?
Basically, yeah.
I'm sorry, Daryl.
It's okay.
Daryl walked into it. That wasn't his fault. I felt bad about
it. Knock it off. Not in the mood for that today.
Let's just start fights with our guests.
I do like doing that.
It is fun.
I think that's more fun.
It is
fun. Who do we have on today?
We got Danny Cunningham at 7:20. Guess what we're going to do? We're going to start a fight with him.
I don't think so. What's the fight? What Cavs fans seem united right now, right?
Hope so.
The ones that can actually watch the game?
Well, that's coming up next, my friend. Is that it for that's about it. Last night? Outstanding as always. Now, we got Sal Palantonio. We will talk draft with Sal Pal coming up at 8 o'clock. He's the premier NFL insider for ESPN. Mr. Cavalier, Austin Carr, he is penciled in at 9:20 this morning. And we got Danny coming up at 7:20 this morning. So you're going to want to go nowhere but right here on 92.3 The Fan and 92.3thefan.com. What they're saying in the locker room, we'll hear from Danny coming up at 7:20 this morning. And you're going to want to hear it because apparently you couldn't see it last night, a lot of you, because we had a blackout during a playoff game in Northeast Ohio. It's coming up next on The Fan.